born again, you didn't get saved overnight. God took everything that happened. And you had to say yes and amen to God. So don't give up. Every time you think about it, say a prayer. Some of the worst people in the world, God save them, be the best people you ever met. I was sitting there thinking when Anthony was singing, he says, I wrote this down, I write everything down, because either that or I'll forget it. No wall he won't tear down. Even the walls I keep building back up. Ain't that something? We think that's an enemy building wall. That's us a lot of times. I go back and start building old walls back. Won't let people in, won't let this in, won't let that in, won't let God in. If y'all cool this morning, I don't know what you came to do, but I come to worship the Lord. then I wrote that out. He tears every one of them walls down. Anybody in here try to keep tearing, putting up old walls? Old things that you ain't going to do and you ain't in. And God says, yeah, you're my child. I'll bust every one of them walls down, make you do what you say or you won't do. No lie he won't tear down. The lies I tell myself. Amen? I can't. Not good enough. Won't do. This is who I am. This is what I am. Amen? God comes right through there and says, nope. You're my child. Amen? Good God. I hope y'all get that. Did I give y'all enough time to get to 1 Kings 18? I tried to title this message 15 times. I don't even know what the title of this. Scott, I knew Scott was going to be back this morning. He texted me about 8 something. What's the message about? I'm like, good Lord, man, we've been serving together for 8 years. Have I ever told you anything about the messages? I've tried to keep them top secret until we get here. But I try to give him an explanation of what I'm going to preach, and every one of them sounds stupid. I look back at the text, and I'm like, what did I say? I give him like this much information, and he's like, and he comes back with, okay. But I was sitting there thinking about several different messages on this, and I was sitting there trying to come up with a really catchy title for this. Have you ever been in between two great places in life? Because where I'm preaching from is 1 Kings 18, verse 1. It's right in the middle of two great messages. Let me say it this way. If you was a preacher, I guarantee you, if you had been a preaching for like at least 2 years, you would have preached both of these messages already. Amen? The one of them is the widow's meal barrel. Every preacher's preached it. The meal barrel didn't overflow, but it didn't run out. Amen, preacher, that's good right there. Is there anybody in here who's ever found God, maybe sometimes not to overflow, but never run out? Whew, glory, that'll preach itself. Anybody in this room can take 1 Kings 17 and preach it. It's easy. Amen? Because every time, good God, I'm going to preach it, I guess. Every time the widow and her son and Elijah went to get something to eat in the middle of a famine, in the middle of no rain, no water, no wheat, every time they went in there and scooped out, there was just enough to make enough food for all three of them to eat. Good. Everybody else was dying of famine. Everybody else wasn't having none. And praise God, every night there was a cake being made by God. Good God. And then you get over into the 18th chapter of Kings, and you find that's when the fire came down. Amen? Y'all remember when up on Mount Carmel, they had 850 false prophets? Good God, that's good. God said, Elijah said, go get all the prophets. Go get the 450 of Baal and go get the other 400 and you have a meet me. God, I wish y'all would help me preach this morning. It's like preaching uphill with a wagon tied around my neck. He said, go up there, get them all. Listen, Elijah, who was scared out of his mind sometimes, tells the king Ahab, who's got his life in his hand seemingly, says, go up there and tell all of them to show up. Wouldn't you like to do that to this world sometimes? Just tell them all to show up at church. Let's figure out who God is. And they went up there and they just emptied buckets of water. Amen. Y'all ever think about that in a time when it hadn't rained in 3 years and it was going through where they were hunting for water for their horses to survive? God's pouring out water all over the place. But in the middle of those two messages, it's dry. Stick around with God long enough. You're going to have revival and revival. And in the middle of it, you're going to have some dry times. You're going to have some times in your life when no Bible verse will work, when prayer doesn't seemingly work. Let me go back and rephrase that. Whenever Bible verse doesn't seem to work, whenever prayer doesn't seem to launch outside the roof of your house, whenever sermon hits flat, when everybody else is shouting the joy and you can't, and you try to fake it but you can't. Good God, we don't never fake nothing at church. But praise God, there are those places. There's so dry. There are times when things are happening and you wish they weren't happening. Amen. That's what we're going to get into right now. I want you to know this. Just because God ain't blowing up right where you're at doesn't mean God's not blowing up somewhere else. Amen? Sometimes we think over here in America, if God ain't doing it, then it ain't being done. I hate to tell you, God's a big God. God just ain't in love with America. Amen? God's in love with the whole world. He come to seek and to save everybody. Amen? There's people around the world right now who are coming out of the darkest places of their life come to find out that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And you know what it's taken? A little bit less information than we get. We've heard every sermon, every message. We've heard it ever preached every which way but loose. And praise God, we come in here with can you preach us another one? Amen? Can you sing us another one? We should be able to come in here right now and worship on autopilot. Amen. We should have enough word in us stored up. Praise God. We could shout on a message we heard 10 years ago. So don't be surprised if somebody else is feasting while we're in the famine. Amen. I just don't want to, I'll make a note right here. Just don't stay too dry too long. Amen. I'm going to pick around till somebody has a moment. Don't stay too dry too long. Is there anybody in here been dry too long? You ain't felt the power of God, baptized in your own tears, shouted a little bit, testified a little bit, walked a little bit, wanted, cared about somebody else's soul? Amen? When's the last time you just got carried away with God instead of just carried to church? And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Good Lord. Go show yourself to Ahab. Have you ever thought about this? How do you end up with wicked leaders? You ever think about that? Nobody in this room ever think about how do you end up with wicked leaders? I didn't think so. Amen? We got prime leaders here in our country, right? We got the best of the best, the cream of the crop, right? You know how you end up with wicked leaders? Have a wicked people. The leadership is usually reflective of the people. Amen. We are a wicked nation. We have turned from God. Amen. We have kicked God out of everything. Amen. And this is no new thing. That's what they did right here. In Jerusalem and in Judea, they had kicked out God. Not long. King Solomon was just a few years before this. King David was just a few years before this. But all of a sudden, they got to a place where they were doing pretty well. Have you ever done well with God and all of a sudden think it's about you? And start relying on your own strength and kick God out of it. Because you fall in love with the things of God and the things that God has provided instead of falling in love with God. I think we do this sometimes even here at this church. I think we got too much strength and too much, we got too much pride and we lean too much on our own understanding and our own ability. We make plans, we make ideas, and we make thoughts before we pray. We're going to do this and then we pray about it when it starts to get shaky. Amen? We should go to the Lord in prayer, and we won't have to worry about it when it gets shaky. Amen? You want to have altar call now? I'm going to preach like I don't know y'all. All right? I'm just going to preach like I'm some visiting evangelist, and I'm just going to preach what God puts on our heart, and you just deal with it. Amen? You just act like you don't know me either. Go show yourself to King Ahab, the wicked king, and I will send rain upon the earth. That rained in 3 years. Things are dry. Amen? King Ahab and them are dried up. The queen's dried up. But look what's going on in the nation that's so dry. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. If it don't rain, everything's bad. You know that? And Ahab called to Obadiah. Now, Obadiah is an amazing character in the Bible. I hope some of y'all become some Obadiahs while you're here at Flat Top Church, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Did y'all see that? Ahab is the wickedest king of this era, and all of a sudden, he's got the most wicked wife there is, a Jezebel, right? But then all of a sudden, right in the middle of the keeper of the governor of their house is Obadiah, who loves Jesus. God's got people on the inside that nobody else knows about. Ain't that cool? I like old Obadiah's character. Obadiah is a believer in Jesus, believer in God, and he's stuck in a wicked place. I feel that. Anybody feel that? Have you ever felt like a person out of time or out of place? I mean, you're standing in a world so weird to you, but here you are, you love God, and you want to do great stuff. Let me make a note right here. Don't stop. Don't not do it. Amen? Don't go with the flow of the world. Praise God, if you're in a bad spot, do what God wants you to do, even in a bad spot. That's good preaching. It don't sound. It won't make you get goosebumps. It won't make you run the aisles. Ain't nobody in here going to go, wow, praise God. But you know what? Just be godly in a bad place. That would help a whole lot. Some of y'all work in some of the most ungodly places there is. If you would just be godly in that place, you'd see a great revival. I hear this all the time. When's revival coming? When the people of God act like godly people in the world. When you walk into your cubicle, when you walk into your office, when you walk into your job, when you walk into that place and be godly despite of what's going on. For it was so when Jezebel cut off, look at this right here, cut off the prophets of the Lord. She didn't just cut them off, she killed them. Hundreds of them. Could you imagine being totally destroyed, canceled, or killed for believing in Jesus? Sound familiar? Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Obadiah, who was stuck in a bad place serving a wicked king, could end up putting him into death. But did it stop him? Let me ask you a question this morning. What's stopping you from doing the right thing for God? Write your excuse down real quick. What's stopping you from doing what's right for God? I love this. You know what? He looked out. You know what he said? Golly, I don't even know how this is going to go over. This message feels like a lead balloon. I love this. I love what he does. He goes like this. You know, she's killed 400. She's killed 500. You know what? There's 100 of them sitting right over there. You know what? I got two empty caves. I think they'll fit 50 apiece. I think 50 apiece would fit in each cave. Man, I wonder what those preachers and prophets was thinking when they got into ministry. They probably got in ministry in a time where it was booming. Hey, I think God's called me to be a prophet. I think God's called me to be a preacher. Oh, I'm so excited. My son's going to preach. My son's going to speak for God. Amen? Until they start killing preachers and prophets and stuff. Amen? Then it's like, hey, is your son a preacher or a prophet? I don't know where my son is, to be honest with you. Amen? I don't really associate much with him. All of a sudden, praise God, look at this. Did you think about this? In a cave, eating bread and water. What's that sound like? Anybody ever threaten that on you? They'll put you in jail, feed you bread and water. Amen? But I guarantee you, those 100 prophets are sitting in a cave, eating bread and water, saying one thing. Thank Jesus. Thank God. And thank God for Obadiah. Amen? In there going like this. Hey, it ain't the best meal. It ain't the best drink. But praise God, we're alive. When we get out of this cave, we're going to learn how to preach better. When we come out of this cave, we're going to be better prophets. Can you write this down? Every bad thing that happens to you as a man or a woman of God is not a bad thing. It just sharpens you up to be a better believer and sharer of the faith of Jesus Christ. We act like the worst thing ever happened to us. Oh, God, the devil's destroying me. Oh, God, what happened? If you're a child of God, let me tell you something. God ain't never took his hand, his eye, nothing off of you. So everything that's happening to you is for your good. Obadiah's coming in every night, rolling the stone away, living in the palace, listening to the wickedness, watching the hand of wicked people work every night. God, I want to preach. Every night, taking his bread and water. God, do y'all understand what's going on there in the middle of a 3-year drought? What could he do with that water? Anybody? What could he do with that water? Drink it himself. Take care of his own family. Take care of his own kids. But he's worried about the things of God. Are you? He's worried about how God's, he's worried about his kids in this way. I'm not worried about my kids and my family if they're going to make it physically. I'm worried who's going to be speaking into their life 10 years from now. Because there's 850 false prophets. There's only 100 decent prophets. And I'm more worried about my kids' spirituality than I am their physical well-being. I think we've gotten to a place in this country that we're more worried about how they're going to spend their life than where they're going to spend eternity. We're worried about how educated they can be and what kind of jobs they can get and what kind of future they can provide. But we ain't telling them enough about Jesus to say, look, I don't care if you're broke, busted, and poor. If you got Jesus, you'll be better off. We don't say things, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world but yet lose his soul? Some of y'all say stuff like, man, they are doing great and wonderful things. They're going to great and wonderful places. But I really don't know what would happen to them if they died on their way to either one. Obadiah was feeding them bread and water in a cave in a dry time. I bet that ministry felt weird. Amen. Are y'all still with me just even a little bit? Donnie, you with me back here? If you're with me, I don't care if the rest of them quit on me. Listen to this. Could you imagine every night how discouraged you got to be to have a ministry that nobody knows about? That you go out there and do it every night and you can't tell nobody you're doing it? You can't share it with anybody? The only one who knows what you're doing is you and God. I wished every ministry was that way. Because praise God, if you're doing it for people, it's going to fail anyway. You should do everything like God's the most important person in your life because he is. I love the story of Obadiah. I just almost titled this Obadiah and just left it there. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land and unto all the fountains of water and unto all the brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive. We lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between to pass through it. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Ain't that amazing? The wicked man went this way, and the righteous man went this way. That's the way it always works. There's only two ways to go. But God sees you. God sees what you do. Whatever you're doing in secret, God will reward you openly. Amen. Whatever you're doing for him, he'll open. He'll shine through. Amen. And as Obadiah went his way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? Ain't that good? God sent him a prophet right on time. Oh my gosh. Thank you man, I'm going to be honest with you. Listen, if you'll get to serving God in dry times and really seeking him and never losing faith and never turning away and never giving up and never quitting, praise God, when he shows up, you won't need a whole lot. You won't need a big old word. You won't need a big old message. You won't need a big old crowd. Praise God, it'll be good just when a little old nugget flies out. Amen? The best times I've ever had with God, when just a little old nugget from God has dropped out of heaven. Amen? When I've really loved on God, and all of a sudden He just comes through with just a little bitty word. Amen? That little word will sustain more than anything else. God, I wish y'all would help me preach a little bit today. I see Elijah walking down through there, and I think Obadiah just like doing this. Is that the man of God? Is that the hope? Amen? He's thinking, man, I thank God that I get to run into Him. I'm glad I get to see Him. I'm glad I'm getting the first glimpse. Amen? Praise God. That's so good. So they divided the land. Watch this right here. And verse 8, he says, and he answered him, I am. Go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. He said, go tell him Ahab. Go tell Ahab that I'm here. That's weird right now, all right? And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation nor kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent. Y'all really stay right here with me in verse 10. I want y'all to get this. This is going to be nerdy Christianity. Y'all need to stay right here with me. There is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and the nation, and they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I will know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did? I love this. When Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with the bread of water. And now thou sayest, go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, wherefore I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. I got one question out of all that reading. I told y'all to stay with me right there. I got one question. Why was he looking for Elijah? Why was he looking for him? Have y'all thought about that? Why is he looking for him? Just sit there and think about it for a second. Why was this wicked king looking for Elijah? Why had he been looking for him for 3 years? Why would the punishment be so severe if they said, hey, Elijah is here, and then he was disappeared? Because what he was saying is, he said, there's been accounts over the last 3 years that Elijah's over here, and then when he wasn't, the king was upset, and there was a heavy punishment to be handed out. Are y'all thinking? Are you thinking this morning? Why in the world was Ahab looking for him? Why was Jezebel looking for him? They got rid of all the prophets. They had thought they got rid of all the prophets. They thought they'd killed all the people who speak for God. They were living their way. They were leading their own kingdom. But they're hunting for the man of God. I believe this with all my heart. We are in this exact same spot in the country of America today. They've got it their way. They've got everything you want, every way you want it. The only people that are wrong anymore is us. They've squelched, silenced, kicked in the corner our voice. What are they looking for? They got to find every one of them. We got to get rid of every bit of them. They're looking for Elijah, because guess what? No matter what we do, I've already told you, they're going to bring 800. There's 850 of their prophets. Why hadn't they brought any water? Why hadn't things got any better? Guys, I want to ask you this. We've kicked God out of everything in this country. Why didn't anything get better? Why has work not got better? Why have schools not got better? Why have families not got better? Why have communities not gotten better? Why has the government not gotten better? Seems like the further we get from God, the more we need Him. Y'all see this yet? Elijah just said, I'm going to head back. I'm coming out of the place where we were seeing miracles work and lives changed. And I'm going to go back up there where God's supposed to be. And he's just walking down the street. Man, he's one of the most missed characters there are. I wish we had, listen, you might want to hear this. I wish we had some men and women of God who walk back in to the squares of our country and start proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of all. Amen? And maybe the drought will end. The spiritual drought. The spiritual dryness. Because we do have a spiritual dryness. We are thirsty as a nation for God. I love this. I love when he gave the resume. He goes, did God not tell you what I did? Good Lord, that's good. Verse 17, and it came to pass. Y'all going to get this. It's so fun. 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Here, let me say it in our language. Aren't you the one that's causing all the trouble? Who gets most of the blame for all the stuff that's going on in this world? It's Christians. It's Christian conservative people. Amen? You're the troublemakers. Amen? Listen, I love Elijah. All Elijah did was tell them what God told him to say. Tell them that I'm shutting up heaven, and guess what? If they want their own rain, their own food, and their own water, let them have it themselves. You know, if God stops doing what God does, we can't make it. Some of y'all are sitting here right now, you're very prideful in who you are and what you do and all that stuff. But praise God, if God stops the breathing apparatus for you, you can't restart it yourself. Amen? If God removes your life, you can't restart it. God just said one thing. I love how cool God is. God said, I'll just take the rain from you. Anybody in here farm for a living? Is rain important? If it hadn't rained for 3 years, you know what we'd stop doing as a country? Let me give you a big word. Eating. Right after that, we'd stop drinking. Right after that, we'd stop living. And you know what we'd do as a nation? You know what we'd do as a nation? Let me wear this out. You know what we'd do? When do we start doing as a nation? We'd stop being offended by stupid things. We'd stop having our feelings hurt so bad. And all the believers would come out and be on our face before God saying, God, please send us something. Amen? And you know what the wicked of this world would do? They'd be sitting on the sideline looking at us going, God, I hope he answers their prayer because we're thirsty too. That's just being real with you. I don't know how else to preach. This is not a shout. This is not run the aisles. This is exactly where we're at as a country today. We are spiritually dried up. And the world's saying it's us. It's your problem. God is judging this country and this world, and it's your fault. It ain't our fault. Just let God back in. Amen. Verse 18, and he answered. This is Elijah answering the you're the trouble part. We're going Flat Top Church is gonna get in a lot of trouble because we're gonna preach about sin. And some of y'all might not like this. Everybody's welcome here. But not everybody's going to be comfortable here. Amen? You can come in here with every sin that you can carry. But if you're going to sit in here, praise God, it's going to get hot and it's going to get heavy and it's going to get hard to stick around. And if you think I'm telling that to you, you're crazy. That's for me too. Because if I bring junk in here, and I do, and I can, and I will, my sin don't feel comfortable in here. And the minute it does, and the minute we make it all right, you need to look for somebody else. You need to get somebody else in a hurry. Because when the man of God or with the church of God says sin is okay, we are not the church any longer. We have become a clubhouse. And the world don't need another clubhouse. We need a place where God can work on us, mold us, make us, sharpen us, and send us to a lost and dying world. 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, that thou hast followed Balaam. This is a good place to end. Now therefore, send and gather to me all of Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, that's 450 prophets of Baal, and the prophets of the groves, 400, that's 850 total, which eat at Jezebel's table. Man, he's 850 prophets sitting around the table telling you everything you want to hear. Amen? So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long? This is where I'm going to end today. We're not going to have altar call today. Ooh. We're not going to have altar call today. We're not going to have a big old ending service. We're going to end kind of like we do on Wednesday nights around here. Now therefore sent he, wait a minute, and Elijah came along, wait a minute, verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, listen to this right here, this is where we're going to stop. How long ought ye be between two opinions? How long are you going to stay between two opinions? Hold on 1 second. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. I want you to hear this part. Here's what God really, really laid on my heart. I want you to hear it. And the people answered him, not a word. Not a word. You know why? Because they were afraid. They're afraid. If they take a real stand for God, if any of those people on that mountain took a real stand for God, they'd be canceled. They'd be destroyed. And that's exactly where we're at today. If you take a real stand for God, a real stand against sin, and you say to people, you better choose. Don't stay stuck between two places. If you're going to serve the world, serve it. But if you're going to serve God, serve God. And you know what? They stood there. Like, I don't want to be canceled. I don't want people to hate on me. I don't want to be rejected. I don't like to be hated on. I don't like to be rejected. But you know what I don't like more than that? Displeasing God. I'd rather the whole world be mad at me. I'd rather be rejected by everybody else, but accepted by God.